Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hello and welcome back. We were off last week. Sort of unexpectedly. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Money back guarantee.
That's it.
Everything you paid for last week's podcast will be refunded to you. Oh, wait. Podcast's always free.
Oh, so.
This show's always free anyway. Yes, we have returned. Much has happened. Much sort of went by the wayside. Like, we were all set to really have big talks about Omarosa. And that sort of disappeared, but we're not going to let that slide by. I'm not going to let you forget Omarosa and all of her nonsense. That's coming up on the Friday episode.
Oh, yeah.
Today we got a lot of other stuff to get to. Let's start it off with John McCain. John McCain passed away over the weekend. And, well, they announced they were discontinuing treatment for brain cancer. And then, like, the next day, he passed away. So, clearly, they had reached a point where treatment was doing nothing. He was getting worse. So, they discontinued that. There has been almost universal praise for John McCain.
Yes.
I've been reading also other things. I mean, let's face it. When you're in politics as long as John McCain is, no matter who you are, there are going to be things that you do that people are going to have an issue with. And, for instance, John McCain is the one responsible for putting Sarah Palin in the national spotlight.
Yes.
That's a big black mark. That is a big black mark. And not the good kind of black mark. And there are other things that, when you look back over his career, you're like, okay. But we're not going to talk about too many of those, because first and foremost, John McCain was a war hero before he went into politics. And if you recall correctly, when Trump was running for president, he said he likes his war heroes that don't get captured, because he's an asshole.
Correct.
He is the most pettiest of assholes that have ever walked the earth. John McCain had said before he passed away that he did not want Trump at his funeral. By the way, the funeral is going to be private. It's not a public funeral. So, and today, now, when a member of Congress dies, a sitting member of Congress dies, there are rules about flying flags at half-staff until that person is buried. Or cremated, or everything is settled that way. At the White House on Monday morning, they were at half staff, and then they were at full staff. And it was very confusing, because all over Washington, there was not a common level at which the flag was flying.
Right.
And the American Legion finally said, hey, what are you doing? Pretty much saying, what are you doing? There were reporters who asked Donald Trump today, because he was available to the press, because he announced some U.S.-Mexico trade agreement. We're not going to call it NAFTA anymore. We're going to, yeah, whatever. And the reporter was yelling, do you have any thoughts on John McCain? And Trump didn't clearly heard him. There was no way he couldn't hear him. He was no more than 6 feet away, literally yelling the question. And when he was in the Oval Office and did it, Trump did what he does in his suit jacket. He crossed his arms. And there is nothing more petty looking than a man crossing his arms in a suit jacket.
Especially when he makes that face.
Yep. Yep. That pouty face.
Pouty face.
Like, you going to ask me about that? Why won't they go away? I wish they'd all disappear right now. Is the face.
Yeah.
Boy. It's just unfucking believable that we've reached a point where, by the way, and it's not like McCain is this liberal. It's not like McCain's Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Now, if it's Bernie Sanders, it's still not okay. But you might go, well, hell, this is someone in the president's own party. His own party.
Well, he's still mad at him for not letting them get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
He's petty and mad at him for a lot of things. But anyway, that happened. And I wanted to read this. They released Senator McCain's farewell statement that obviously he wrote before he passed away. I'm going to read that for you right now. My fellow Americans, whom I have gratefully served for 60 years, and especially my fellow Arizonans, thank you for the privilege of serving you and for the rewarding life that service in uniform and in public office has allowed me to lead. I have tried to serve our country honorably. I've made mistakes, but I hope my love for America will be weighed favorably against them. I've often observed that I am the luckiest person on earth. I feel that way even now as I prepare for the end of my life. I've loved my life, all of it. I've had experiences, adventures, and friendships enough for 10 satisfying lives, and I'm so thankful. Like most people, I have regrets, but I would not trade a day of my life, in good times or bad times, for the best day of anyone else's. I owe that satisfaction to the love of my family. No man ever had a more loving wife or children he was prouder of than I am of mine. And I owe it to America to be connected to America's causes. Liberty, equal justice, respect for the dignity of all people brings happiness to more sublime than life's fleeting pleasures. Our identities and sense of worth are not circumscribed but enlarged by serving good causes bigger than ourselves. Fellow Americans, that association has meant more to me than any other. I lived and died a proud American. We are citizens of the world's greatest republic, a nation of ideals, not blood and soil. We are blessed and a blessing to humanity when we uphold and advance those ideals at home and in the world. We have helped liberate more people from tyranny and poverty than ever before in history. We have acquired great wealth and power in the process. We weaken our greatness when we confuse our patriotism with tribalism, with tribal rivalries that have sown resentment and hatred and violence in all corners of the globe. We weaken it when we hide behind walls rather than tear them down, when we doubt the power of ideals rather than trust them to the great force for change that they have always been. We are 325 million opinionated, vociferous individuals. We argue and compete and sometimes even vilify each other in our raucous public debates. But we have always had so much more in common with each other than in disagreement. If we only remember that and give each other the benefit of the presumption that we all love our country, we will all get through these challenging times. We will come through them stronger than before. We always do. 10 years ago, I had the privilege to concede defeat in the election for president. I want to end my farewell to you with a heartfelt faith in Americans that I felt so powerfully that evening. I feel it powerfully still. Do not despair in our present difficulties, but believe always in the promise and greatness of America, because nothing is inevitable here. Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history. Farewell, fellow Americans. God bless you, and God bless America. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. So I was watching Chris Cuomo before I left the house, and he had Essie Cupp up on, who's a friend of the McCain's. So she said that one thing with the disease is it's kind of deceptive in the fact that you have good days and you have bad days.
Okay.
So you have days where it seems like everything's okay, he's okay. And then you have days where are bad days. So I don't know if they had initially said he was already at a place where he was going to pass when they said he was going to discontinue his treatment. But her saying that made it seem like they said it and he might have been okay and had a good day and then just like had him and passed.
I do take issue with a couple of things. We do a lot of hiding from history.
Yeah.
We talk about that on the show a lot. There's a lot of hiding from history. Oh, that never happened. That wasn't like that. Ideally, we don't, but we do.
Yeah.
So let's be better about that.
We could stop that. We could move past a lot of stuff.
And that's that is not just in terms of racial issues. It's in terms of a lot of things and globalism. It's a funny thing because Leslie and I watched this show called 90 Day Fiancé. Okay. And the idea is that people are getting engaged to people from other countries and they have 90 days once they come here to either get married or they have to go back. Well, there's a new show called Before the 90 Days. And these are people who they've met online. They're getting together. They're deciding if they want to go further. And it's really interesting because this white woman from Georgia has fallen in love with this black fellow. I know this is going to be redundant when I tell you he's from Nigeria. And she has traveled to Nigeria to meet him. And he is talking about his mom. And they interview his mom in the side thing. And her biggest fear about him coming to America is guns.
Yeah.
Like, she literally asks, she goes, do you have guns in the house? I am afraid for my son going to America because of guns.
Wow.
They live in the shittiest house on a dirt street in Nigeria, where, by the way, no white woman has ever been before. And when he said that, I thought of you, Kareem, and I went, well, now it's ruined. However, this guy, he don't know no better. He's in Nigeria. Donald Trump is his business idol.
Oh, God.
And she shows up, and they get to the hotel, and she brings him gifts. The first gift she gives him is a Make America Great Again hat, and he puts it on, and he's beaming from ear to ear. And I'm like, oh, I don't know when this happened.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, don't you know he thinks you live in a shithole country? And because then she gifts him with a Trump 2016 shirt and a little Trump bobblehead, which he is both perplexed and delighted by, because apparently the bobblehead craze never made it to Nigeria.
Well, at least not that part.
So these are some of the things I've learned. And it's really funny when you watch this show. The thing that I take away from it is, when these families bring it, this American shows up and they talk to the families, people are the same everywhere. They have the same hopes, dreams, fears. The only place they don't is in the movie Crazy Rich Asians. And by the way, I saw Black Panther and Crazy Rich Asians in a 6-month span. Does that mean I'm woke? Does that make me woke? I saw Get Out last year too. I mean, come on.
I think the moment you say you're woke,
I'm just asking.
It means that you have just moved on.
Does that make me woke?
It means you're pretentious.
Yeah.
All that being said,
and that's the thing. If we could actually face, If as a country, we could just face the racism in our country, then we could start to move to other issues
Right. And the idea of American exceptionalism as it's being presented now, the idea of American exceptionalism used to always mean America is a great place. For some, the greatest place. There are opportunities you don't have other places. What it's become is America is a great place and everywhere else is a shithole.
Yeah.
And that is just so toxic and not helpful to anything.
And part of that is because most of America's never go anywhere.
No, not at all. And that's the beauty of this show, as dumb a reality show as it is. The beauty of this show is to see people from the Amazon in Brazil to a hut in the Philippines, to a little town in England, to this place in the middle of Nigeria. And you see these people, By the way, they all have internet and they all have a cell phone because they fell in love with somebody online. Like, these people have nothing, but they have a cell phone and internet access.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really great. If people would just stop and go, oh, so they're just people trying to make the best life for their family?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, that's the you know, thing that, like, Samuel Clemens said, right? Like, I mean, that's how you overcome that thing is by visiting and traveling and moving around and experiencing people, because you realize everybody, we're all just the same. We all have the same wants. We all want our kids to do better than we did. You know, I mean, like, if we have kids, yeah, everything's very, very similar. It's like, I drove through Truckee and, like, actually went to, like the downtown Truckee area, like the old historic area of Truckee.
Sam Platz's hometown.
I always thought of Truckee as a dirty place. Like, for some reason, it was a stop off the side of the freeway in between here and wherever else I was going.
Well, if you only go to that one gas station, probably.
So, like, it was just, you know, I've lived in California my whole life. Mm-hmm. For the most part. And I always had this idea of it, but then we went and it's such an idyllic, like, it is a railroad town. Like, it is straight up, like, you can see that this is a railroad town. Like, mm-hmm. It's charming, and there's something, I had this misconception for so many years about what Truckee was, that once I actually went there, I was like, oh, it's not a shithole.
Right. Now, on the flip side, I've been to Bakersfield. No, yeah.
But I'm sure you can find some old Pueblo or some old, like, historic location in Bakersfield that makes you feel like, oh, wow, there's some history here that somebody had. You know,
there's just, everybody has history everywhere. Yeah, so, yeah. Yes. But
it's still a shithole.
Is that?
I still wouldn't want to live
Hold
there.
On, is that the truth?
That's the truth.
Not going to be rushed into having him testify so that he gets trapped into perjury. And when you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth. He didn't have a conversation.
Truth is truth. I don't mean to go like...
it isn't truth. Truth isn't truth. The President of the United States says, I didn't...
Truth isn't truth. Mr. Mayor, do you realize what...
No.
This is going to become a bad meme.
Don't do this to me.
Don't do truth isn't truth
to
me.
Donald Trump says, I didn't talk about Flynn with Comey. Comey says, you did talk about it. So tell me what the truth is.
Don McGahn might
know. If you're such a genius, Don McGahn doesn't know. If that's the situation, okay. We have two pieces of evidence. Trump says, I didn't tell him. And the other guy says that he did say it. Which is the truth? Because you're a genius.
Under two people, I know you're right. I don't read minds on that front.
Okay. So, truth isn't the truth. That's the president's lawyer. Oh, it's TV lawyer. I'm sorry. Not real lawyer, TV lawyer.
You know, it's so ridiculous. I mean, like, because I see what he's trying to say, but he's such a, like, that was so ridiculous. Like, the truth is the truth. Like,
One of them is lying.
One of them is lying.
one of them is lying. And what's the truth? The one that's not a lie.
Yeah. Like, well,
he might have interpreted what he was saying different than how he meant it.
Well, if you brought up the name, you brought up the name. And if you didn't, you didn't.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah.
So, just say that your guy can't tell the truth.
Just say...
Right, and later on in the clip, he's like, well, does it go to reputation? Because Comey's told a lot of lies, and I'm like, what? Comey's told a lot of lies.
Yeah.
The reason why come you don't want your guy to testify is because he lies all the time.
And, worse, sometimes he tells the truth.
Yes.
And he gets away with it and backpedals when it's on Twitter. Because he'll tell three different versions of the same thing in one day.
But you can't do that in court.
You cannot do that in sworn testimony.
Or not even in court, deposition. He did the deposition for something and he just lied throughout the deposition.
Uh-huh. And how'd that go for him?
That's why they don't want him to testify.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Did you see the last episode of Who is America?
I have not watched it yet.
You'll want to enjoy the part where OJ talks about the best way to kill women.
Oh, really? Does it get that?
Sort of. I'm overselling it a little bit.
Did the Sarah Palin piece ever?
It never aired. It really? Never aired. And apparently I was watching TMZ Live, and Harvey Levin was saying she apparently no threat was ever made. So for whatever reason, they decided not to air it. I'm guessing to keep her on pins and needles the entire time.
And
then get no payoff.
That would be well worth it.
Yeah, they just teased her and teased her and teased her and left her with outrage blue balls.
Or they're going to wait until...
I want to get so angry about this, but I can't because it doesn't air.
Or they're just going to wait until everybody forgets about it, and if it gets renewed for a second season...
That'll be the bonus club. We're coming back for season two.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm almost positive that got renewed.
Well, it's not a matter of being able to renew it. He's going to have different characters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, actually, no, he won't. Because the people that are doing the things that they're doing, if they're willing to do what they're doing in that gym. By the way, a guy. This spoiler alert, Kareem. I'm sorry, but on this past week's episode, he tells a guy that they're implanting trackers on protesters at the San Francisco parade. And he tells him if he hits the iPad with two fingers, that it will set off a charge, a little explosion that will make their heart stop. All you have to do is hit it with two fingers. This motherfucker pressed it with two fingers.
Oh, yeah.
He hesitated for a split second, and then he pressed it with two fingers. Not knowing that it's not a thing, he did it thinking he was murdering an American citizen.
Oh yeah,
was he a politician?
No,
or just some dude.
No, these are people that you have to see the episode. Yeah. It was not a politician. No, yeah. Politicians aren't going to do that. They'll do a lot of crazy things. You know, at you with their
no butt politician cheeks. Was harmed in the film.
Oh my god. Before they got to that, they had three guys in there, and they've done this before, where he's like, okay, well, I don't need you. And they're like, okay, you have to convince liberals that you're one of them. So the first thing you have to do is, one of the things all liberals do is they ask, what's your favorite episode of Girls?
You're shitting me.
I'm not. And he went through, it's season two, episode three, because that's when Hannah finally meets her downstairs neighbor, Laird. And Hannah runs off to something. Anyway, so they learn this so that they can have this conversation casually.
Wow.
Your favorite episode of Girls. Then they had to convince people they hated Donald Trump, so they had a Donald Trump dummy. And they had to basically say, fuck you, Trump. And then they proceeded to sodomize the Trump dummy with dildos. At one point, they were doing the wobbly H with the Trump dummy.
Wow.
So salute to you, Sacha Baron Cohen, for really shining a light on who America is. All right. Now that we've gone through that, I feel the need for a palate cleanser. And it comes to us from Minnesota, where Jason Gable and Kwame Anderson don't usually cross the bridge over I-94 in St. Paul, but on a Wednesday morning, for no reason in particular, the beer delivery men decided to take a different route. After dropping off a shipment of beer at a sports bar, Gable steered the truck onto the bridge crossing the busy highway below. Then they spotted a man standing on the bridge's ledge on the other side of the fence. Gable yelled, bro, you all right? And Anderson filmed it on his phone. Come on this side, bro. Facing them, the man on the ledge responded that he was going to take his own life. Anderson cut off the video and called 911. Like a human being.
What?
Right? The dispatcher told him to hold off until police arrived, but Anderson couldn't stand the wait. Said, I'm thinking it's either help this guy or he's going to jump. I got to keep this guy entertained somehow, because if I wait for police, things could be over. The first thought that came to his mind was, of all things, Denzel Washington. He recalled the movie Inside Man, in which Washington plays a hostage negotiator. Said, I was like, all right, I got to be the negotiator. So for the next hour, even after police arrived, Anderson talked to the man. He asked him his name, where he grew up, whether he had kids. He found out the man lived four blocks from the bridge, that he had children, and that he was originally from Chicago. Said, I grew up on the east side of St. Paul in the Hood, just like you. At some point, St. Paul police officers and other authorities arrived and closed the bridge. Anderson kept asking the man questions. Did he want any food? Did he want to eat something with him? He replied he wasn't hungry. He said, do you need any money? The man said he didn't. He said, do you want to have a drink with me? That's when the man paused. Yeah, a beer? The man said, maybe. As the officers continued to distract him, Anderson rushed to the beer truck, grabbing a 12-pack of Coors Light. He brought the beer to the bridge's ledge, opened it, and told the man that if he climbed down from there, the 12-pack was all his. At that point, the man agreed, slowly retreating to safety, where emergency responders placed him in an ambulance and brought him to the hospital. After he finished speaking with officers, Anderson started filming on his phone again. And that's what this sounds like. Let me unmute this.
Come on this side, bro! Come on, man!
Oh, we just got done. Well, I got done with the officers.
Nice job, Kwame.
Take this for evidence, please.
We just talked to a guy off the ledge with some beer.
And good job.
Thank you very much. And he did not commit suicide, so it's a good day. They had this whole area blocked off.
That's it.
Man, good job, guys.
Good job, Kwame.
Way to put somebody's life above your 15 minutes of...
Right?
Yes.
That's a big lesson for everybody out there. Stop recording and call 911. And then the beautiful thing that you didn't, because you weren't seeing the video, is Kwame is an African-American gentleman, and he had a group of police officers behind him smiling. Yeah. What? All white cops.
Yeah.
So that was a nice thing to see, too. But...
it's probably better that Kwame was there than them.
Well, yeah, I think Denzel Washington deserves a little bit of credit here, too.
Yeah.
And for anything, really. I mean, how do you not credit Denzel with stuff? All right, so last week, everybody got really, really upset because this guy was brought in by ICE as he was driving his pregnant wife to the hospital. There were a lot of people very upset about this. They're like, ICE agents are cold-hearted. They don't know that. And it turns out he had a murder warrant out in Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. So before you get all upset about everything and join on the outrage train, take a deep breath, relax for a second, and go, should I be just flipping out on this right now, or should I hang on for a second?
Find out what's going on.
He literally was one of the people that ICE should be arresting and taking back to Mexico. Now, the fact that his old lady was about to give birth doesn't enter into it.
Nope.
I'm sorry. If you're wanted for murder, that's on you, dude. That's on you, dude. But, oh my God, the outrage. The outrage I saw. Jason, were you one of the outraged?
No, I wasn't even paying attention.
I came across Twitter last week, and oh my God, it was crazy the number of people like, oh my God, the Nazi state, and blah. It's like, you know, not everybody that ICE is arresting is just an innocent taco truck operator.
No.
But it has for so long.
they are actually arresting criminals as well. And that's part of the danger with what's been going on, where innocent people have been getting rounded up just because they have, well, I mean, you ask some people, well, they are here illegally. So they are, in fact, breaking the law.
Well, there is a, yeah, but they're arresting people that are here legally, too.
No, they are doing that as well. they're arresting citizens in some cases. Like, born here citizens.
So, I mean, that's what happens when you have, you know, people that are doing what they shouldn't be doing. You know, that's the danger of it, is that then people don't like it when they do their job right.
Right.
Because, you know, they've been misused.
We don't know whether you're doing it right or not.
Yeah. Like you no longer have the majority of the public's trust, or a percentage of them at least, you know, that were the good people.
The angry Twitter mob.
And just a bunch of people that...
Let me remind you of something that I've been reminded of over the past couple of weeks. Twitter is not really America.
Mm.
Twitter is an incredibly small percentage of people, whether it's people who are really liberal, or whether it's people who are really conservative, or alt-right, or Antifa, or whatever it might be. Twitter is not really America. The vast majority of Americans, this doesn't register for them at all. Some dude getting arrested on his way to the hospital in L.A. means nothing to 99% of the country. Nothing. But the outrage was immediate. The outrage was immediate. I believe Andy Richter was the one who retweeted the initial story that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
He's an outrage monster right now. And good for him, though. Good for him, because it's good to see celebrities actually going, hey, this is wrong. Now, occasionally, they're going to step in it. And the ones who are good at it will then admit, oh, well, my bad. Turns out they should have been arresting him.
Did he do that?
I think he might have.
Then you delete your first tweet.
Nobody ever does that, though. That's the thing, is that initial tweet is still out there, and it's just.
But you apologize, keep the apology in there, and then delete the tweet.
Delete your tweet.
And then if someone wants to bring it up, say, listen, I already apologized for it here. Peace.
All right.
That didn't work so well, I guess.
All right. Well, we felt good for a minute there. And
yes.
Now the headline, let me share this with you, because I think it's important that you see the headline in its biggest, boldest letters, gentlemen. This comes to us from the heartland of America, Iowa, where a worker fired for disparaging Mexicans says she should get unemployment, arguing that such talk is routine after Trump's election. Well, by him, sure. She cannot collect unemployment despite her testimony that other employees also made derogatory comments about blacks and foreigners since Trump became president. Angela Dyer has filed for unemployment after she lost her job at Dexter Laundry, a Fairfield manufacturer of commercial washers and dryers, for telling a coworker that she hated fucking Mexicans. Well, then don't fuck Mexicans.
That's not all she was fired for.
The Employment Appeals Board ruled that Dyer's statements clearly met the definition of misconduct and disqualified her from collecting unemployment benefits. The board reversed Administrative Law Judge Beth Schlietz, who said that she deserved unemployment benefits. Schlietz ruled that since President Trump's election, it was common for workers at the plant to talk of hating African Americans and foreigners. The company couldn't single out her for misconduct. Okay, fire everybody.
Man, that judge needs to be removed.
She doesn't know any African-American or foreigners.
Dyer said she would appeal the board's decision to deny her benefits, which would move the case to district court. The First Amendment protects citizens against government-imposed restrictions on their speech. Those protections do not apply to speech in the context of working for a private company. Private employers have also disciplined or fired workers for public comments made outside of work, including on social media posts.
Does she not know that?
No. The unemployment case stems from an incident that took place in May at the plant. She's a production worker, saw a coworker dancing and singing Mexican songs in celebration of the Cinco de Mayo holiday that was coming up. Which Mexicans don't really celebrate. That's just white people.
Yes.
In response and in front of several other employees, Dyer's made the comment that she hated fucking Mexicans. At her unemployment hearing, she testified it was 7 o'clock in the morning or 6:30 in the morning. And here's Lindsay dancing and singing Mexican. It's like, what are you doing? And then she said something about Cinco de Mayo, and that's when I said I hated Mexicans. She testified, her coworker said nothing in response. She just looked at me. I go, I'm sorry, Lindsay, if you don't like what I said, but I'm not a Mexican fan.
That should have been her clue, was when her, when your coworker, when you say it and they don't co-sign it, you stepped in it.
Well, yeah, and Lindsay, are there any black girls named Lindsay?
No.
There are no Mexican girls named Lindsay. Lindsay's as white as you are. And Lindsay's like, what the fuck did you just say? No.
She's like, you don't say that in front of them.
Yeah, she didn't even say that. You stepped in it. And that wasn't the reason she got fired. She got fired. There was some other shit that she's done.
Well, that was probably the last straw. The judge said in her ruling, since President Trump's election, it was common for workers to talk about hating blacks or hating foreigners. If management wishes all workers be treated with respect, it must enforce respectful treatment amongst coworkers and supervisors and apply those expectations consistently throughout the chain of command. But the state appeals board disagreed, saying the comments fell squarely within the type of behavior the employer's work rules specifically prohibit. The clarification that she only meant illegal Mexicans does not absolve her of culpability. It doesn't matter if you meant illegal Mexicans. Talking about hating groups of people, probably not okay in most workplaces. I mean,
you're saying you hate Nazis. Like, that's probably one of the few, like, you know, groups of people you can say you hate.
Well, Nazis are also not an ethnic group. I mean, they want to be the master race, but they're not really an ethnic group.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that happened in Iowa. I know, Kareem, you love white ladies calling the police.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's a great one. A man recorded a woman calling the police to report he was breaking into a car. It was his.
Of course.
We go now to WISN in Milwaukee for the story, if it plays.
Security and data protection concerns hindering your success?
Oh, page not found. Great. fantastic. No, it's just the video. Corvante Davis of Oak Creek said he was simply getting change from his car to feed the meter when he was suddenly labeled a thief. Davis narrated his encounter with the woman on St. Paul Avenue in Milwaukee Street near the public market, saying, I was getting ready to put money in the meter or wherever, and she has nothing else better to do and asked me if I was breaking into my car. Davis told WISN 12 the woman said she was calling police. They said, I hit unlock, but it wouldn't open, so I ran around to the other side and opened the door after hitting unlock. And by that time, I hear this lady shouting, screaming, dude, why are you breaking into that car? Whose car is that? Does it belong to you? Davis waited for police to arrive, figuring it'd look bad if he left. They quickly verified it was his car, but then the woman was gone. He's convinced it was more of a case of see something, say something. Stereotyping, racial profiling, maybe she thought the vehicle didn't belong to me. But that's why you ask questions, you don't jump to conclusions. She did ask. It was her third question. It was probably asked very angrily.
So you asked, he said it was his, you called the police.
He said he only decided to post the video online when he was encouraged to do so by family and friends. Said I wasn't going to do it. I typically don't like to play the race card, they say. But in a matter of 24 hours, it garnered more than 40,000 views. It's still climbing. And hopefully these situations can be resolved. Not likely. By the way, he's a corrections officer. He told WISN 12 News it might be unrealistic, but he'd like the woman to apologize. He's a corrections officer. It keeps getting better and better.
Just ridiculousness.
All right. We got a lot of racism to talk about. We're going to get through it all with a bit of humor, one way or another. And I think what better way to do that than with a little musical accompaniment by Nelly. From South Carolina, a Five Points bar became the target of social media protests last month after the manager said he was fired because the owner believed the business had become too dark. Josh Sutton, the former manager of the Moosehead Saloon on Divine Street, said he received a text message from the owner saying, "Whatever's happening to the crowd shift, I want it to stop now. It's gone too far. I'll bring in an entire new staff if needed." In a follow-up conversation, the owner, Matt Schmansky, said the business was becoming too dark. Schmansky, who owns several other bars and restaurants in Columbia, did not respond to several requests for comment from the state. What? Sutton's firing was one of several incidents reported by former employees and customers that drew criticisms from them and others on social media. Immediately after Sutton, who is white, was fired in early July, the entire staff was ordered to reapply for their jobs. Although at least two African-Americans were invited back, none of them has returned. An African-American customer was denied entry because of a dress code ban on solid color shirts.
Get the fuck out of here.
The dress code has since been removed. Schemsky complained to staffers that the bar was playing too much hip-hop music.
Well, what are people dancing to these days?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what the dance, this is pretty much dance music. I got, fuck the mix. I got turned away at the mix one night because they said my pants were too baggy.
Oh!
Mind you, I had gotten in the mix with those same pants on before that. And I was with a group of girls.
Why were you going to the mix? What is wrong with you?
This was a while ago.
Okay.
And he was with a group of girls.
And I was with a group of girls.
It's like the best time to go. Especially if you're not, like, if you're not potentially dating one of those girls, it's still nice to go.
Yeah.
With a bunch of girls.
Yeah. And actually, I went for Carissa's 21st birthday. We went there. And it was me and five white women. I look like a pimp.
That's why you got turned down.
Five really young ones. But no, it was just weird. It was like, he was going to let me in, and then he like looked down, and he was like, "Your pants." And I was like, "Dude, I've been in here before with these pants on." And then that was probably a couple years after that, then the black women were protesting it because they were saying they were
turned away too.
So apparently they were doing it to black people all along. It just finally got to that group, and they were just like, "Fuck y'all." Yeah.
All right, got a little bit more racism for you. This one was fun. It is video from a convenience store where a looks to be 40. I would put her somewhere between 40 and 50-ish. White lady, a little heavier, is checking out. Pay attention to what she says at the end of the clip.
Oh, okay. Sorry. There you go. Fucking Allah. Allah. You fucking Muslim.
Yeah, you got problems, lady.
Of course, she only spouted the racist stuff after she had secured all of her items. You know.
Fucking Anna.
wait.
If you hate them, what the fuck are you doing shopping in their store?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know that this person has anything to do with Allah, because they might have been Indian or Pakistani.
Yeah,
they probably were.
I'm just playing the convenience store math here, not being racist. If there's just a large number of Indian and Pakistanis who own convenience stores.
Yes.
And I could not see in the video if this guy, he looked more that than Saudi Arabian, I'll say.
Yeah. Except she, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's Indians that are Muslim too, and Pakistanis that are Muslim too.
And there's white Americans who are Muslim too. Yeah.
So like, but I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. I mean, come on, lady, like, get the fuck out of here.
Mm.
GTFO.
Well, she did. She got her stuff. I like that thing. I said, lady, you got problems.
Yeah. I just like, get upset. I'm just like, lady, you got problems.
I'm like, how are you still shopping? How are you shopping at a place for people that you hate?
Where else am I supposed to go? They're moving in, taking over the whole thing. Whole thing. Meanwhile, in Montana, a woman there was charged with breaking into her ex-boyfriend's house and forcing him to have sex with her at machete point. She's been found unfit for trial, and her criminal case is on hold while she receives treatment at the state hospital. Samantha Mears was arrested back in June and charged with a pair of felonies in connection with the bizarre incident at her former beau's Great Falls home. At the time of the alleged break-in, Mears was free on bail following a prior arrest for strangling her 21-year-old ex.
Wow.
So here's what I know. Crazy in bed.
Yes, great in bed.
And crazy out of bed. She was evaluated by prosecution and defense doctors who concurred. She was not currently fit for trial. In light of the current findings, the judge placed a criminal hold on the case and ordered her committed to the state hospital to be rehabilitated in order for her to be fit to proceed with the criminal charges at a point in the future. So while I hope she gets better and gets the treatment she needs, how do you hold her responsible for this behavior if you said she's unfit to stand trial?
Yeah, he must have put it on her.
I mean, according to the records, she entered the victim's residence while he ran an errand. When he returned home, she appeared from behind his bedroom door, came up behind him and placed a machete under his throat and told him to get on the bed and take off his clothes. The victim told police that he complied for fear of his safety, adding that he did not believe he was free to leave. He said he told himself, don't risk your life. Do what she says.
You go give me that dick tonight. Now, or I'm going to chop your head off.
Okay, forcible rape is never a joke.
No.
But he did the right thing because it's not worth it. We're not going to make that joke. We're not blaming the victim here.
That's right. He did the right thing to keep it down.
And whatever else. All right. Let me see where we're on the show here. Oh, okay. We're in a good spot.
We got a show.
We do. I was just seeing how far into it we were. Yeah, I had to turn all the way around to do that.
We got a show.
We do. We totally got a show. Come on. There we go. The soundboard went away for a moment. It's important that we have it so that we can do this.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right, Kareem. This little bit of Florida Corner had me wondering, what would Kareem say about this?
Uh-oh.
Right? Headline, Florida doctor has bizarre airport meltdown to prove a point about police use of force.
Oh.
Saying, if I was a black person, I'd be terrified. Now, this story is from Fox News. So, know the source of from which it comes, but here is the raw video. Let me get the... Why am I not getting... Oh, because I'm casting it up there. That's why. Let me uncast for a moment so that our listeners can actually hear this. That'd be great if I knew what I was doing. This is what happens when we take a week off.
This guy's trying to promote me.
This is the outburst that caught a lot of attention at Orlando International Airport this morning.
They're arresting me. They're really de-escalating. Hey, just don't get caught.
This forcing officers to charge Jeff Epstein with battery, resisting arrest, trespassing, and disorderly conduct. Epstein now home in Lakeland, talking to Fox 35 after getting out of jail on bond.
I'm a provocative guy, and I do it on purpose. You know why? Because people don't say stuff. And if you say it and people debate it and talk about it, maybe we'll get a solution.
According to court records, American Airlines called police when they said Epstein started acting disorderly. Epstein admits he was upset that the airline was taking so long to get him on his plane. But when things with cops got physical...
Treat me like a
black person.
I figured a white guy getting arrested at an airport might draw some attention to these black people who are, I think, legitimately concerned. If I was a black person, I'd be terrified.
Epstein says if given the chance, he probably wouldn't cause a scene like this again, but...
Yeah, my behavior wasn't perfect, but I think there's problems in the system that maybe this will bring light to.
Okay.
So that's his spin?
That's his spin. So dude got angry with the airline, caused a scene, so much so that they called police on a middle-aged white man. And when he got arrested, he went into his I'm not resisting. Oh, my God. If I were a black person, I'd be so afraid. Are you buying any of this, Kareem? Is he an ally?
No. He's an asshole.
Like, that's a hell of a spin to put on it, though. I'm getting arrested, and I'm yelling out all these things in the airport, causing a scene to bring light to the plight of African Americans.
Get shot. Yeah, no.
By the way, Colin, all Colin Kaepernick did was take a knee, and Trump's ripping him a new a-hole. No one will hire him. This motherfucker's wrestling with the cops at the airport. Oh, that's why I'm doing it.
God.
He's 59.
You might need to check his head. He might have some dementia.
59-year-old white man. See, what happened was he was set to be rebooked for the next available flight, and he became irate at the airline staffers as well as other passengers and children in the area. I believe this is the raw video.
Chuda.
Hold on. Oh, my God.
Great to be with you.
Thank you,
have you here.
No. Go away. Fox News is boning me right now. Here we go.
This guy is trying to provoke me. He's a law enforcement officer, and he's trying to provoke me. Do you know how to de-escalate things, genius? No, you're not. Okay, you're talking about me foaming them out. Is that going to de-escalate things? Genius? Do you have training? Genius? There's no alcohol. You want to test me? You wanted me to count backwards? Come arrest me or give me a fight. They're arresting me.
Well, you did say come arrest me.
I'm not. Do not hurt me. Do not hurt me. Do not erupt with me.
Okay. When he says, do not hurt me, the cop is trying to put the handcuffs on him. He turns over his shoulder at the cop, who he's looking down toward, because this is a tall dude, and you hear his tone change? That was when the cop's tone changed.
Yeah, look at him, they're gonna beat me up!
And down he goes.
Don't beat me up, you don't beat me up! Look at him! Oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this! Hey, that's what they're doing. Oh, get to the other side. I'm not listening. You're
rough
with me. You treat me like a
black
person.
You're gonna get sprayed. Release your hands. Put it behind your back. You understand me?
Okay, so that's the height of white privilege right there.
Right?
That is the height. So you're gonna act like an ass. They don't tase you. They don't mace you. They don't put the dog on you.
You're gonna yell,
I'm getting treated like a black person.
Yeah. Not until he said, come arrest me. And then they tried to put the cuffs on him. And he's like taking a threatening stance. And then they took him to the ground.
Yeah.
And then he put his hands around in front of him and clasped them together. Yes. And that's when they were threatening to pepper spray him. And that's when he said, you're treating me like a black person.
Yes, they should pepper spray his ass. They should pepper spray him directly in the asshole.
I wish it would have been a black guy. Because he might.
Oh my God.
They should pull his pants up and just pepper spray right down his crack.
Oh my God. And then then to turn around and go, look, I was doing it to highlight the plight of the black people.
Get the fuck out of here. You're not no Bernie Sanders. I barely work for Bernie Sanders.
He's the new Millennium's Freedom Rider.
White privilege. <Adam.
laughs> By the way, that happened in Florida.
Of course.
Orlando, to be exact. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? And he was flying to Philadelphia. So assholes on both ends.
Nothing but assholes.
Nothing but assholes. Oh, my God. You know, not since Don't Tase Me, Bro, have I been so amused at the sound of someone being hurt.
Don't pick me up. Look at him. Oh, my God. I can't believe they're doing this. Oh, my God.
Hey!
Look what they're doing!
Hey!
Oh, get to the other side!
Help! Help! I'm being repressed! Yeah, you see the violence inherent in the system?
Oh my God.
Just like the part where he's like starting to cry, he's like, hey! It sounds like there's something wrong with him. Like, he's like.
Well, there really is.
Yeah. Don't beat me up, Don't beat me up! Look at him! Oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this! Oh my God! Hey!
His tonal shit is like,
oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this!
Hey! You stop that!
It's like, you know, the only time I've ever heard a shift like that is when you're being licked by puppies. And you're like, oh my God, it tickles so much, the puppies are licking me! Hey! You stop that!
Or when you're getting a blowjob and she starts sticking a finger in your asshole.
Hey, like, hey, stop that.
Hey, you stop that.
Okay, take a knuckle out.
Right. I mean, he almost sounds like he's enjoying it for a minute. Yeah.
Like, don't beat me up, you don't beat me up. Look at him. Oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. Oh my God. Hey.
How you doing?
Oh, my God.
Hey.
What a little bitch.
How you doing?
This is a 59-year-old man. A 59-year-old man. Unbelievable.
Thank you for that moment of
laughter. By the way, if you scroll down, you can see his mugshot.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. He was charged with battery, resisting arrest, trespassing, disorderly conduct, and possession of marijuana less than 20 grams. See, this is what happens when you're on the weed. he said, well, you didn't hear the story. If you're going to do this to a white doctor who's 59 years old for doing nothing, then why would black people trust you? I'm a conservative Republican. I'm a Trump guy. But until the police fix this problem, I don't blame black people for being upset when they get arrested.
Awesome. Gosh.
And then he gets really white and uppity. I figured a white guy getting arrested at an airport might get some attention to these black people who I think are legitimately concerned. If I was a black person, I'd be terrified.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Somebody spray some pepper spray in his ass.
Oh.
Right in his booty hole.
right in his booty hole. All right, I have what I want to call a prelude. Hold on, I need to make sure I get the right music for this. Make sure I get the right stuff. Okay, here we go. I think this is the right music for this.
Okay, be real nice to him, eh?
Okay.
Okay. This is the hit single section of our album.
This is important. Pay attention.
Geddy Lee is here from Rush.
That's not really that important.
Hi, Geddy. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, Geddy?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Good day, eh?
Good day. Good day. Thanks for coming down to do our hit.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Did our lawyer call you?
Yeah. I'm, $10 is $10.
We were...
You can't argue with that.
But there's a photographer that's going to be taking pictures of us together to prove that you were here doing the record.
In case people don't believe us.
Yeah. How come he's not wearing a toque?
Oh, he's not from the Great
Lake. Oh, what?
Okay, so if you'd like to put on
a toque
and some headphones, we can
it's a knit hat.
Hit single now.
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Do you have the lyric sheet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I memorized them.
Oh, great. Beauty.
How did you do that so fast?
We have news from Canada, by the way. This makes sense.
We'll just sit over here like while you're singing, eh?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Good luck, eh?
Okay.
I'm going to wait till the music actually gets kicked in.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Headline, villagers stuck in homes after beaver dam collapses. Residents of 15 homes in Ferme-Neuve in the Laurentians are confined to their houses because a beaver dam collapsed, flooding a road. A road. The SQ were informed of the structure's collapse just before 5:30 p.m. on a Friday. Lock Major Road has been damaged in various places, making it unstable and completely impractical. That's according to an SQ spokesperson. The road will remain closed for at least 2 days. Firefighters are on site going door-to-door to reassure citizens in those 15 homes. Residents could, in emergency, drive a half-hour detour. So I don't know if there's any real danger. But this is Canadian small town. It's a small town news prelude.
Right on.
And I think it's important to make sure we know this is in Canada. Sorry.
It was really white.
Yeah, well, it's Canada.
You're going to have to play some Nelly or some Tupac to get me back.
French Canada.
Some Nelly.
I already played Nelly.
You had to play some Tupac to get me back.
Play some Threepac to get you back.
And I don't even listen to Tupac. That's the thing.
Well, he hasn't put out anything new in a good year and a half. No, I don't know when Tupac put out anything new. I mean, he's been dead for quite a while. When was the last time Tupac put out anything, Jason? Any ideas? All right.
It's probably been a while.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. Now for the real small town news.
Uh-oh.
That's right. It's time to go to Plattsburgh, New York, where Speak Out is back in business. And people have issues that they want to tell you about. I'm so sick of the total obstructionists trying to shut down the president and government solely for the reason that their candidate lost, and I will now vote for anyone who they speak out against. Get over it. The election is over. Try to make government work again for the better of us all.
I wonder if you were saying the same thing 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
No.
I was, okay. Just want to make sure it only matters now. Okay, cool.
Hey, some friends and I ate dinner at a Margaret Street restaurant seated on the sidewalk under a homemade canopy. We couldn't have asked for a more pleasant Mediterranean experience. What upset or concerned us was the patrons sitting on both sides of us. Young people who didn't touch their salads. Tomatoes, lettuce, radishes, grape leaves, pretty much three-quarters of their beautifully prepared and nutritious bounty of the earth, scraped into the trash. They ate the pasta, salty, sugar-laden, and starchy. Were they never introduced to fresh veggies?
They're kids.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking person. Who the fuck says that? Get the fuck out. And not only that, say what restaurant it was. Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, if you live in Plattsburgh, you know what restaurant that is.
You know exactly which one.
There's not that much space there.
Okay, so it's like just the one. It's like Mediterranean.
You're not going to be confused as to which one it is. I mean, yeah. I can just go ahead and tell you that, right? Yeah. This is small town news for a reason.
Man, fuck that shit.
I'm just telling you, it's small town news for a reason.
You're going to sit there and eat all your veggies until we leave.
Why won't you eat any of your veggies? I don't understand.
Hey, ma'am, do you want some of these?
I don't know. I don't just participate. Oh. Hi. All right. We'll see if this gets Kareem back. No. I remember when CVPH was the best hospital in our area. At one time, it had an excellent cardio unit, an outstanding neurological unit, and a cancer oncology suite built with mostly Canadian money thanks to their socialized medicine rationing care. And a new operating suite. Since becoming affiliated with UVM, even routine surgeries are now done in Burlington, which can cause an inconvenience for people who have difficulty traveling the distance. UVM runs the show now. UVM, give us back our hospital! Our doctors are competent and well-studied. If a second opinion is needed, UVM was an option. Now it's not! Hey, when you use the First Amendment to argue against the Second Amendment rights, you're undercutting the First, the Second, and every other amendment. Drop the mic! Yes, speak out! And now for the final one in Speak Out today. Sarcasm Font indicated, someone should make a TV commercial where the women are all bold, smart, and competent, and all the men are simpering idiots.
Oh. I wish it.
Yeah.
It'd be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously, if men were as dumb as they make us out to be in commercials, we'd slam our dick in the car door every morning.
You don't?
Not by accident.
I thought that was.
I mean, on purpose. Well, sure.
Yeah, okay. All right. Cool. I chose the part of the club.
Not accidentally.
No, okay, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Wow.
By the way, there was so much speak out that the rest of it will be on Friday's episode.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, no, that's too much speak out for one reading. We got to move it out.
You got to move it out.
And we're recovering from our whiteness scream.
We are. That's better.
I thought so. Hey, whether you want to buy something black or white or other sort of colors, shopping Amazon's a great way to go, and if you're going to do that, hit that Shop Amazon tab at the top of NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show and does not cost you anything extra. If you're a Prime member, two-day shipping. Free.
Free.
Have stuff shipped across the country to your friends and relatives. You got a gift to give? Go through Amazon.
That's right. You can send shoes to your nephew in North Carolina.
It's true.
And they'll actually send them to the right place, unlike the assholes at Foot Locker.
Those assholes at Foot Locker.
Fuck you, Foot Locker.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have to say about Foot Locker.
That's right.
Sorry, Jason. So, Labor Day is next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the show, let's do you guys want to record the show on Monday next week or Tuesday?
Tuesday will probably work best for me.
Tuesday's fine.
Well, we're recording Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
Because I'll be in, I was worried about this week because I'm going to Tahoe tomorrow night.
Well, we're all set with this week because we're going to record the Friday show next.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll record the day after Labor Day. If anybody who's been wondering what we talk about behind the scenes, like
that's what we do.
We're ready for the show, that's pretty much it.
That's it.
I mean, other than our just normal live stuff. Like, hey, how's your day going? And Jason's like, it's great. And Kareem's like, no. Yin and yang.
Locker.
It's how we go. All right, everybody. Have a great one. We'll be back on Friday with another new episode. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, and please, try to be nicer to everybody.
That's right.
Even if you think they're an idiot. Just take a deep breath and go, how would I feel if that asshole was my father, mother, brother, cousin?
Yes.
Would I be as angry at them? Would I still want to shoot them in the face?
Yes.
I mean, maybe so.
The only time you don't want to be nice to them, there's only one time when.
Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh, when they're being a Nazi?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's what we're going to leave you with. And Aaron Carter. Show's over anyway. Turn it down, turn it off. I don't care. We'll see you next time. Bye! Break it down.